bought 8 properties in a recession, 2010, 2011, and became financially free quite young. I achieved my goal. And then in success, what do you really learn? Nothing. You learn everything in failure.
You've doubled your profits. You were making 4 or 5 grand, now you're making closer to 10 grand.
The way you make your first million will be different to the way you make your next 10 million, which will be different to the way you make your next 100 million. It stops becoming about you and your journey and your financial freedom. It becomes about, okay, what's best for my girls?
The moment you think that you know it all and you're not growing and evolving, you're shrinking.
You're gonna get a ton of no's. The idea is that you just break through those no's, keep plugging through, and eventually you get through.
Doc, thanks for coming to my house.
Thanks for inviting me.
I wanted to talk to you about property. You're a property millionaire. You're also a doctor. And you've got a nice portfolio, which you've recently, over the last few months, restructured, and you've increased the profits quite a lot. So why don't you just talk to me a bit about why property in the first place? Why, as a doctor... And a lot of doctors I've noticed are also do property part-time. But why did you start buying houses?
Oh, okay. The honest answer to that, actually not many people know about, but I'll give it to you, Samuel, because when I was a junior doctor, being a junior doctor is incredibly tough. What you hear in the media plus some. You do nights, evenings, weekends, 12-hour shifts. And if I'm being totally honest, I was failing. Totally and utterly failing. As I didn't enjoy the job. Completely different to medical school. It's not fun anymore. You're a glorified pencil-pushing secretary. My clinical supervisor kind of pulled me up and said, look, you're not performing. This isn't good enough. I got a bit of a career scare because I invested so much time, energy, and effort into becoming a doctor. And I just was like, oh, crap. I need a plan B. And so that really was my fuel. On like being a doctor is great. It's my passion. I love it. Great privilege, but I definitely needed a plan B because in that moment when I was 23 years old, you know, what do you know at 23? I felt like, oh my God, I'm feeling insecure and vulnerable in my career. I need a plan B. And that really propelled me to, okay, property. I came from a background of builders, plumbers, electricians. So I thought, put two and two together. I was a junior doctor in Milton Keynes. That let me just use my family setup and build a portfolio in Milton Keynes.
So it wasn't that you wanted to not be a doctor. It was more that you wanted to have the security to know that if ever anything happened with your career, you're okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was financial freedom was the goal. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted that time choice freedom to do what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, with whoever I wanted to do it with.
Did you buy your first property the traditional route? Did you just save up and put money down as a deposit?
Yeah. From my salary, savings, like you, paper round from the age of 13, all of that sort of grinding hard work. You know, I used to be a carer, I used to do paint jobs. So all of that, bought my first property, borrowed money for my second investment property with the bank of mum and dad, and yet built my portfolio through BRRR strategy. Back then, it wasn't called BRRR. What we were doing is buying dumps, doing them up, having a go, making them as pretty as possible, fingers crossed, hoping that the valuation officer in 6 months will, like, you know, say, oh, yeah, it's significant, and then remortgaging and releasing the equity and just recycling that.
And you've got an impressive portfolio. You own, what is it, about £3.6 million?
Yeah, definitely.
And of course, you've got your mortgage as well, but you've got your equity. What was it that you learned then? So when we started talking, what was it that made you kind of register for the training and come to my programs when you were already in property, had a nice portfolio already, making sort of 4 or 5 grand a month profit in a job that you enjoy as a doctor? What was the pull?
Fair question. And so I think with me, I got success quite young. So I became financially free. So 23 is when the crap happened with being a junior doctor and career being in question. And then I put all my time, energy and effort. I really went into it full swing of property and bought 8 properties in a recession, 2010, 2011, and became financially free quite young. So 25, 26. And then I kind of just hovered in this success. I lived in a little tiny flat. So being financially free wasn't that impressive, but like I achieved my goal. And then in success, what do you really learn? Nothing. You learn everything in failure and adversity. And so I kind of just fizzled out. I kind of neglected my portfolio, let it kind of do its thing, allow the management company, estate agents to kind of just take it from here. And they made a bit of a mess out of things and not, you know, improve the rents accordingly. So again, I found myself in a bit of a slump with tax changes happening and property sort of catching up with me. So no longer am I, you know, saying, oh yeah, I can lean on my portfolio for holidays this year. No. You know, tax changes happened, government law changes happened. Yeah. And actually that all caught up with me. And I thought, hang on a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. And then, you know, the other bits are like, you know, bought an overpriced house in London. And then you can become unfinancially free quite quickly, yeah. If you know what I mean. You know, your liabilities go up and that'll do it. So I was in a bit of a place. So I had a bit of a choice. Do I have a crack at it again myself and, you know, try and build up the portfolio? Or do I do this thing properly? Join a proper academy, proper mentors, proper training, learn things. I was out of touch. You know, like I said, I was successful when I was 23, 24. But I reflect back and I think each and every property I bought was very different to the previous one. And I was making mistakes. And those mistakes cost money. And yes, I was successful, you can call it, in terms of building a portfolio. But I probably made tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds of mistakes.
Yeah.
So I figured, let me do this properly. Let me join a proper course with you. I was watching your YouTube videos. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to surround myself with the right people, go to the right training, get the right education, and, you know, have the mentorship.
Yeah,
that
sure.
comes with your academy. I think that's so important for someone like me. I don't care where you are, who you are. If you're wanting to achieve anything significant in life or property or otherwise, it's going to take 6 months to 10 years, no matter what you want to do. In that 6 months to 10 years or what, you know, whatever your goal is, you're going to come across challenges. You're going to come across problems. In that scenario, when you're jumping through a hoop, do you want to have a go yourself and just try and make the best decision with what you've got? Or do you want to speak to a mentor who's experienced and specialized? And that's the beauty of your academy. You know, yeah. you've got that to hand.
It makes sense. It makes sense. And also sometimes people say, even a lot of doctors, they're like, oh, I've not really got the time to be part of the academy. And it's like, if you're going to do property, it's going to save you time because the amount, you know, you're going to be able to find the nifty tricks of the trade. So it makes sense. So what's changed then over the last sort of, I don't know how many months ago it was when you joined the academy. Was it coming up to a year, is it?
Yeah, it's coming up to, I joined in September. So yeah, 6-7 months. I've enjoyed it immensely. I've done all the training. I love that kind of thing. Going to courses and listening to you. And you've got, if you allow me to pay you a compliment, you've got this amazing gift of condensing complex things into a simple, understandable format. I can listen to you all day long. And I memorize some of the stuff that you say because you've done that, been there, got the t-shirt, and you're, instead of like when you go speak to an accountant or a lawyer, they'll give you jargon.
Mate, yeah. Deliberately.
I think so.
It is, because if an accountant makes it really simple, then they almost feel like they're making themselves replaceable. Or they'll think, oh, if they make it sound complicated, you'll think, oh, I'll pay you to just sort it. You know, I think they make it, same with lawyers. Yeah. And deliberately.
I think lawyers are a bit more high level with
that. But you know what I do? I don't know if you already knew this. I might have told you this before, but if I want to learn something, what I do, because people say to me, how do you know, like, where do you get all the information from? Let's say I want to learn about commercial valuations. We discussed that last week.
Yes,
and
yes,
I explained it in about 5 minutes. And suddenly, oh, it's really easy. You can easily work out the commercial valuation. I had to sit with a commercial valuer for about 10 hours straight, paying them their hourly rate of £350 an hour. So not only is it costing me like £4,000, but it's also costing me 10 hours of brain power and time, like blood out of a stone, with not just any commercial valuer, someone that I think is going to be the best teacher, the most competent. And then after like 10 hours, I'm finally, right, I fully get what came for now. Thank you. Cheerio. Pay them their bill, and then I'll explain it to people like yourself in 5 minutes.
And by the way, we absolutely benefit from that big time. I mean, we're just touching on the ACPP, which is the coaching two-day course that you provide once you've done all the training. And that's where all the magic happens. I can't tell you how much I loved going to those 2 days.
Oh, I'm so glad, man.
It's not just when you pick apart everyone's business plans and really give people bespoke advice based on your experience, but it's just when you listen to other people.
Yeah.
And it's so fascinating for me how everyone is in a complete different scenario. Like not two people were in the same spot.
Yeah.
Everyone was doing different things, and you can learn so much from listening to other people's stories. Yeah. So the ACPP is where you need to aim for as an Academy member. Do all your training, learn it. And I just want to say this bit because I think this is important. Nothing worth having comes easy. This is the misconception, I think, in today's society. I hope, and I don't want to come across patronizing or anything like that, but really and truly, if you want to achieve anything in property, give it the respect it deserves. Join an academy, do some proper training, talk to people who are experienced, you know, rub shoulders with mentors. Learn, study, grow, evolve in an environment that is conducive to that, and then you'll find your success. I always use the analogy of, I want to improve my health, and you know, I've got two kids, and I've got great motivation to do that, and I've been going regularly for the last 3 months, but I don't have a six-pack. And the idea that you can get things quickly and do it, I'm against that. I think, you know, you've got to give it the time, give it the energy, give it the work consistency that it's due.
I totally agree. I always say this is one of the masterminds, and this is something that you probably see. In property, you're always going to have challenges. You're never going to get to the point where you go, I've cracked it. Because the first challenge might be, oh, I'm struggling with my business plan. Then it might be, I'm struggling to find a deal. Then it's, I found a deal. Now I'm struggling to get the mortgage. Now I've got a deal, but I've got a bad tenant. Now everything's perfect and I'm making millions of pounds. Now I've got to find a way to shrink my tax bill. There's always going to be something. If you go in knowing that and know there's going to be challenges, I think it makes it much easier. How does that fit, do you reckon, with me doing like financial freedom challenges where I'm showing how doable, how accessible it is?
Yeah.
Because some critics might say, I make it look too easy. But then at the same time, I'm trying to make it really simple so that people get it and can see how doable it is. What do you think about that?
Well, that's a really, really fair point. And I could see it from both sides. I think you're in a very difficult position. I admire your role. On the one hand, you're balancing to try and make this knowledge accessible to those who don't have it. And you want to really instill learning and growth in those people who need it. But on the other hand, you want to make it as realistic as possible. And there is that balance that you have to come up with. And I don't envy that position. What I want to say at the first point is that I admire someone like yourself. I do know a fair number of millionaires and a lot of them hide away.
Yeah.
Some of them say, oh, I'd love to help out and, you know, just you get involved with teaching and training and that sort of thing. But you have created a comprehensive, well thought out academy. You've created this platform where people can come to learn, grow, evolve. I don't necessarily think that you're saying that, oh, watch this YouTube video and you'll be a millionaire.
Yeah.
You're saying, look, this is part of it. It can be easy, can be accessible, but also join my academy and learn properly, learn the skills that you need, spend time with the people that you need to spend time, grow, learn, evolve that way.
Yeah.
So I don't think your message is that simple. You're saying it can be done. Anyone can do it, but give it the time, energy, and effort. It's due.
Yeah. And also when it's me doing it, I'm very experienced. It's like, you know, David Beckham makes it easy to bend the ball. Yes, I'm doing this and isn't it amazing? But it's taken me 15 years of hard work to get to where I'm at. It doesn't come easy.
It doesn't.
And I even today work extremely hard. What have you done in your portfolio then? Because and that's why I invited you to come on the show.
Yeah.
Because you've doubled your profits. You were making 4 or 5 grand. Now you're making closer to 10 grand in your property income. How have you done that?
I've equipped myself with knowledge, which has been provided by your academy. I've learned the different strategies. And I've understood what is possible. And, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Blind spots, isn't it? And I had massive amounts of those. And so when I realized, actually, these properties could be achieving a lot more. And, you know, I've worked alongside assisted living companies.
Yeah.
And I've turned my properties, some of them, into renting them out to people with assisted living companies and organizations.
It's a nice strategy, that.
It is. And so I've learned, I've grown, I've evolved, I've overcome some problems that I've been experiencing. And yeah, and I've just tidied up my portfolio massively. I've joined with my close friend and cousin Raj, and he's another, you know, part of my armory in a way, because he's brilliant, he's experienced in property, he's quantity surveyor by trade. And so we bounce off each other really well. Our skill sets are slightly different. Yeah, I feel like with his help, with your help, with the academy, you know, the world's my oyster again. I can, you know, what we're looking at now is BRRR projects and blocks of SAs to boost cash flow. In terms of your five C's, you know, I love that, by the way. Cash, control, cash flow, capital, and then charity.
Yeah.
I'm at the last two C's. You know, I'm trying to build my capital and also the doctoring side of things is my passion, and that's my charity. So, yeah, I've just loved this year. I loved learning about property all over again and getting my mind up to the knowledge standard.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you've managed to increase your profit so much by just paying attention to your portfolio and restructuring things and fixing things, because it's almost like there's no point trying to grow. You would have been wasting your time buying loads more houses before you've restructured the properties that you've got. Talk to me about the tax things, because I think you decided against trying to sell your personal properties to a company. What were the pros and cons with that? Because that's a lot of people have that issue.
A lot of people have that issue. And just to be clear, we're talking about owning property in your own personal name.
Yeah.
It's a massive problem for lots of landlords. With the mortgage relief now is essentially fizzling out with Section 24, landlords can no longer claim against their mortgage relief. And so lots of landlords are trying to figure out, you know, creative ways of overcoming this problem. And I'm in that same boat. Right? It's a significant problem. I'm looking at, you know, ways of trying to navigate through it. I haven't quite cracked it yet.
And it's not easy. I didn't bother. I just left it. I just thought, moving forward, I'd rather do it differently. But from the properties I've currently got, there are ways that you can transfer your personal portfolio to a company. But is it worth the expense?
And for me, that expense comes to close to 300 grand. So I have to think, well, am I going to get my return on investment on that? It'll take me about 8 years to recoup that money
back. Is that 300 grand worth of capital gains tax, stamp duty?
Exactly that. And legal fees. Yeah, exactly that. So so I've got to weigh it up. And I know in the ACPP, you know, that this is the beauty of that. So we went into this in detail. And yeah, you said, look, based on everything, sell up bit by bit and maybe move into something else. I hope you don't mind me quoting you. Huh? You said, the way you make your first million will be different to the way you make your next 10 million, yeah, which will be different to the way you make your next 100 million. And so I think I'm at that stage where I've done well, great. But now I need to think and rethink about how I do things going forward. I haven't made my mind up, but I'm leaning towards what you've advised, which is sell up bit by bit, then go into something completely different.
And we were looking at commercial property.
Looking at commercial property.
Which is quite exciting.
Yes.
But a bit of a commercial crash course.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
And you were talking about other sort of strategies and platforms in which, like, you know, pensions and SIPs and all of that sort of thing. So I've got to do much more learning and growing to go to that level.
But you're in the right place.
I'm in the right place.
What is it that drives you? Because you've got so much energy and so much passion. Even at the events, you know, you work really hard as a doctor, but at the events, you've got so much energy. And even now, you can just tell that you're a guy that loves life. What is it that gets you up out of bed in the morning?
I mean, that's such a massive compliment from someone like yourself. Your energy is unrivaled. When we go to there's 2,000 or plus people in a room and you're bringing it.
Yeah.
And that is admirable. I love that.
Appreciate it, man.
My energy, easy. That's an easy question for me. I've got two girls, Sia and Isha, age 3 and 4, and they are my reason. I will not stop. I will keep improving. I'll keep learning. I will keep growing. And, you know, it wasn't until they came along until I kind of like shook out of it, because I was just fizzling out in property, if I'm being honest, before I joined the academy. My girls are my reason. You know, I won't fizzle out anymore. I will keep growing, keep going because of them.
So it's about legacy.
Absolutely.
And that's why you enjoyed the talk about trusts and inheritance tax so much.
Yeah, I think they are important. It stops becoming about you and your journey and your financial freedom. It becomes about, okay, what's best for my girls? You know, how can I maximize things for them and give them the best future possible?
Yeah.
That's why I'm here, you know?
How do you juggle time management then? Because I imagine it's quite a high pressure job being a doctor, life and death sometimes on the line. How do you juggle family, kids, being a doctor, and also having a multi-million pound property portfolio?
Look, it's not easy. I'd love to ask you that same question as well, because you do it in spades, probably more than me. But you know, being a doctor is a tough crack. I don't think you can do it half-heartedly. I certainly don't. I give it the time, energy, and effort it deserves. I love being a doctor. You've got to find a right balance, you know, and you've got to put things into your life that allow you to decompress. So for me, it's gym. I go 3 times a week. I've got a great wife, Marla. She's much brighter and much more well-balanced and well-rounded than I am. And so she will just quite oftenly give me some choice words to just rejig things. And I think you need those pit stops in your life. I'm blessed. I've got my girls. I just look at them and I get energy. And so, you know, things are really, I'm privileged now. And, you know, I wasn't growing up, the complete opposite. My mum and dad, they're working class, you can say that. But my mum, to be precise, she was a carer. My dad's a builder. So I didn't have that silver spoon growing up. And it doesn't take long for me to just like reflect back at growing up and how tough things were,
is
to kind of find comfort and solace in that, done really well, can be really proud of my achievements. Balancing things are always going to be tough. My GP practice always comes above property. So I do give it the time, energy, and effort. As you know, in business and in life and in work, you don't stop. You work until your 8 p.m.s, your 9 p.m.s, your 10 p.m.s. As long as you have regular breaks, you surround yourself with the right people, you're humble enough to realize that actually you don't know everything. Put yourself in the right environment, the academy. Give yourself the best chance. Everyone gets stressed, including myself. I go to the gym today's my gym day. So I'll go and unwind and, you know, I've joined David Lloyd's. So there's a spa there.
Yeah.
And I noticeably feel different. I feel decompressed at the end of that. You know, we're all humans. Above any role that we have, we're all humans. I can cry when I've had a tough week. I can even cry when I'm hungry. You know, we're human beings, first of all. We've got to look after ourselves. Only then we can look after our family and our jobs and so on.
I love that. And I love the consistency as well, because it will be so easy to think, obviously, you've got your family first, then your practice as a doctor.
Yeah.
And really, property is kind of last. And it'd be really easy to just completely neglect it. But just by being disciplined and spending, you know, having those 3 sessions a week at the gym and being disciplined with your however many hours aside you put aside for your property business,
it's
important.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons that you're so successful is you're also, you're very coachable. Because it's very easy for someone who's been in the game since 2011.
Yeah.
Who owns, you know, lots and lots of property. He's got millions of pounds worth of portfolio to sort of think, oh, I've been there and I've done it and I know it all. But actually you're saying, no, things have changed. Rules and regulations. I want to grow. I want to upscale. I'm going to remain coachable. The moment you think that you know it all and you're not growing and evolving, you're shrinking.
Couldn't agree more. That is great advice for anyone trying to achieve anything. You've got to put regular time, energy, and effort and consistent work into anything that you want to achieve. And I think there is another thing to be said about having drive or passion, whatever it is. You need that something to ensure that you keep going despite knocks. I've not told many people this story, probably because I was too embarrassed, but you know, I'm happy to say it now in terms of how I got into medical school. So I applied to 4 universities like everyone. I got rejected from all 4.
Wow.
Yeah. So 2 of the universities, Manchester and Birmingham, they didn't even give me an interview. The other 2, Queen Mary's and King's, I did go for an interview, but completely fumbled it. And I didn't come from a background of doctors and I could just ask my cousin to coach me or something like that, which is often the case with doctors. You know, they do have mums and dads who are doctors who can give them some regular coaching and so on and so forth. So I wasn't polished at all. I was very raw. I had ambition. I needed to, I was almost desperate to get out the situation that I was in, working class family and tough upbringing. I completely fumbled the interview. So I was without any offers in medical school. Despite getting no offers in medical school, I was just committed, almost desperate, or you know, really ambitious to try and make something of my life that I quite desperately called all the universities And a lot of them laughed me off the phone, Sammy, you can imagine. What you're calling if we've got any spare places for medical school? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm calling. Do you? And they're like, no, of course not. Boom. And I just kept on doing that, despite people laughing me off. And this is what I'm saying. You've got to be able to push through the failures. And so I eventually, after like calling 15 odd universities, came across one university called Keele University. They did have a couple of places available in their medical school. And I said, well, okay, how do I get access to these two places? And they goes, well, you've got to come for an interview. There's been quite a lot of demand. There's lots of people coming. But if you're happy to come up, we'll interview you, right? So I, you know, pack an overnight bag, stay the night at Keele Medical School, and have the interview the next day. And I just break down in the interview, completely lose all sense of self, and just tell them about how much this would mean to me in my life. I just passionately describe how important this place at medical school would mean for me. The next day, I get a phone call from the lady, and she says, oh, look, I'm really sorry. I've been calling lots of people, and I've been telling them that there've only been two places, and we had 50 applicants instead of 40 that we thought. So I'm really sorry to tell you that you've got in. And that was my eureka moment. I mean, that is the moment where I thought, oh my God, I've finally made it. The reason why I'm telling you this story is that there was virtually no chance of me going to medical school. That story of calling universities up to seeing if they've got places is a bit of a joke thing to do, especially when we're talking about medical school. But it just goes to show that if you keep persisting, keep trying, and I think that's what property is about, you're going to get a ton of no's. And the idea is that you just break through those no's, keep plugging through, and eventually you'll get lucky and you get through.
Well, you'll get lucky because you kept persisting.
That's it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, on that note, I mean, that's been an awesome interview.
Oh, cheers.
So much value in it. And you're such a top guy. And I've loved working with you, bro.
Thank you. Thank you for everything that you do. And I know firsthand how easy it is for you to make, you know, 10 grand. I've seen you deal selling, you know, in front of hundreds of people. You can make 10 grand in 10 minutes, but instead you decide to make a well thought out academy where people can come, learn, grow, evolve. And I think that's a wonderful thing on a personal level. I think credit to you. Really, I appreciate people like you. And I'm a huge fan.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.